Amen. Well, it's always humbling and honoring to be able to bring the word. Let's pray over God's word tonight. Father, we are so thankful for the gift of your word, that it has the power to bring life, to bring hope, to change our lives every time we hear of it and receive it. And tonight, oh God, we are asking that only your voice would be heard tonight in this house, that, Lord, we would have hearts that are softened, ready to receive what it is that you want to do. God, we honor you through your word tonight, and we are so thankful that every word and every promise is yes for our lives, and it is amen. We love you for that. In your name we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Living Word, Part 1. How many are thankful that our God is the living and the one true God? He is not an idol that we worship, carved out of stone or wood tonight. Jeremiah 10, verses 8 and 10, it says, a wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Nothing like cutting right to the chase on that. It is a worthless doctrine, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. Several times in Scripture, he is referred to as the living God, the all-knowing and the all-powerful God. All throughout the Old Testament, we see the Israelites many, many, many times being attacked by their enemies. And several times in Scripture, we hear them crying out to their living God, that their living God would show up in power and defeat their enemies for them. And God responds to the Israelites by being faithful to this time and time again. God sees every part of our journey, and he is ready and waiting to be involved in our lives if we would trust him, if we would invite of him to move on our behalf. Is God alive to you tonight? Is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ living within you? Do our lives reflect a deep faith, a deep trust that God is alive, that he is moving and able to break through for us, that he has actually called us? When we have a revelation that our God is all-powerful, that he is able to move on our behalf, that he is living, it ought to stir a passion within us to draw near to him. It ought to stir this awakening within us to be so aware that we are nothing. Be encouraged by that tonight. We are nothing. We can do nothing without the power of our living God. Because our God is living, we are told in Scripture that his word is living as well. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you live tonight by the words of God that proceed from his mouth, that are found in the Scriptures that have been given to us? His word will be alive to us when we hear it, when we receive it, when we live according to it, when we pray and prophesy it, and when we believe it. John 6, verse 63, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. God is so passionate about his church being skilled in the word of God because of the promises and the power that is found in it. And isn't it true, though, that in our Christian living there are battles, there are forces that are working against us to be alive to him, to have the power of his word working in our lives, from being victorious and staying close to his presence. We battle against our sinful human nature, and we also battle against our spiritual enemy, Satan. But it is when we know the word that we will know how to resist the sin and overcome the ungodly temptations that are seeking to infiltrate our hearts and our minds, our homes and our relationships and our lives. Our main passage tonight comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. A very familiar verse to all of us, I'm sure. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The King James Version, in this verse, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. This word quick in this translation, it is interpreted that the word of God is alive, living, breathing, as living waters. having vital power in itself and exerting the same power upon the soul. It is fresh, strong, efficient. I love that God's word is efficient for our lives. It just cuts through to what needs to be done. For the word of God is quick and powerful. And this word powerful, it comes from a word that means effectual. If we put these two translations together and the interpretations of both of these translations, it means that the word of God is quick to act. It is powerful, effectual, living, active, efficient, and it has vital power upon our souls. Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified Version, it reads, "For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart." The rest of this verse here, it indicates that we see the power of the word at work in our lives when it exposes any sin, when it exposes division within our hearts. It penetrates the soul, it says. It breaks off sinful habits. It tears down any pride and it releases humility. It discerns our thoughts and intents. In other words, it guides our passions to be united with the passion of Christ. It is a two-edged sword or a double-edged sword. What do the two edges of the sword of the Word of God do in our lives? One side cuts away what doesn't belong, and one side is a defender against the enemy. One side is flesh, we could say, and one side is spirit. It cuts the flesh and it empowers spiritual breakthrough. The word of God is living and active because it draws us close to our holy God. It purifies us and it empowers us. Only the word can discern the deepest parts of our hearts, of our minds, and show us how it is that we can truly change into the image of Christ. And the question for every single one of us tonight is this: how do we activate the word so that it is living and powerful in our lives? It is not enough just to read the word. Just reading the word does not bring its full power over us. What aspects of the word do we need to pull into our lives? Do we need to invoke on a daily basis in order for it to cut away the flesh, in order for it to defeat the enemy and advance the spiritual purposes of God in and through us? Number one tonight is the living word is faithful and true. How many are thankful for that tonight? I'm thankful that not only is our God faithful and true, but every word that proceeds from his mouth is faithful to perform the work that it was set out to do within us. We can trust the word of God. We can stand on the word of God. We can lean into the word of God and receive it into our lives. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth." These verses declare for us the evidence and the truth that God's word has always been a very part of him. God's word has always been with him since the very beginning. God's word is the very essence. God's word is the very nature of God. It is the prophetic purposes of God. In verse 14, it says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us." In other words, the word was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and his work and his ministry. And the word, being Jesus himself, was full of grace and truth. The word is living, and it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. It is faithful, and it is true. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is the faithful God who keeps covenants and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The word of God will become alive to us, and it will exert its power when we fully believe in its faithfulness, that it never loses its power. The word of God will become quickened to us. It will become alive and powerful to us when we understand that there is only one truth, and it is the word of God. That the word of God stands up against every other doctrine, every other religion that is proclaiming their own version of truth. The word of God will become alive and effective and powerful and efficient in our lives when the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is alive within us, meaning that the living word is alive within us, which tells us that there are not different truths. No matter what society, no matter what other people are proclaiming this day, there are not individual personal interpretations of the word of God. There is only one truth, and it is the word of God. His word alone is the faithful word, and it is the one and the only truth that brings light into the darkness. It is the one and only truth that can save a soul. It is the one, the only truth that can bring that light, that can bring that joy, that can cause the spiritually dead to rise again in Christ. At the beginning of our chapter in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard, it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." The word is meant to bring profit to us. But to these people, it did not bring profit because they were not mixed in the same faith. They did not have the same beliefs as those who were declaring the word. When we have faith in the word, it is meant to prosper us. And it is in our faith that the word comes to life and it brings power to our hearts and our minds. The living word tonight is faithful, and it is true, and it requires our faith, and it requires our trust. And the level tonight of our faith in the word of God, the level tonight of our trust in the word of God will determine how powerful, how living this word is evidenced in our lives. John 8, 31 to 36, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" How many need a bit of freedom tonight in this place? If we abide in the word, we are his disciples. If we abide in the word, the truth will make us free, will bring that freedom. The truth of the word has the power to set us free from every worry, from every fear, from every sin and lie that is seeking to enslave our thoughts and our actions. Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Jeremiah 23, verses 28 to 29, "And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" I love that image that his word is like a fire that can burn away any darkness, any chaff. I love that his word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks, that breaks the pebbles, that breaks those hindrances to shreds. When we trust that his word is the only truth, the faithful word, it will become as a fire. It will become as a hammer, alive and powerful for our daily living. Number two tonight, the living word requires us to be hearers and doers. Let's not have one without the other. Hebrews 4, verse 2, in the voice, it says, "Those people in the wilderness, they heard God's good news just as we have heard it. But the message they heard didn't do them any good since it wasn't combined with faith." We know tonight, according to the word, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But our faith does not end at our hearing. Our faith must be evidenced by works, must be evidenced by actions, by heeding the word. The word brings profit to us. This is our promise. The word strengthens us. The word cleanses us. The word will bring guidance. It will be a lamp unto our feet. It will be wisdom. It will be healing. All of these promises are true, but only when we stand upon the word, only when we have faith in the word of God, only when they are evidenced, when we apply the word, when we do what the word says. We cannot be hearers of the word and not be changed by the word. We cannot be hearers of the word and not be obedient to the word. There is no power in our lives if we do not do what the word says. James 1, 21 to 22 in verse 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We will be blessed, church, with the power of what the word says when we live according to it. We are familiar with the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. The sower went along to sow his seed, and the seed is representative of the word of God. And it talks about the different paths that the sower scattered his seed upon. Some fell upon the wayside. Some fell upon rocky places, paths that were full of thorns, and some fell upon the good path, the good soil. And Jesus explains the interpretation and the meaning of this parable in verses 19 to 23, talking about how the places where the seed or the word of the Lord falls, it represents us. It represents the condition of our hearts, as it were. When we hear the word of God, when this seed enters our hearts, what kind of a heart does it enter? He is challenging us. Does the seed, the word of the Lord, enter a stony heart? Does it enter a heart that is full of thorns? These kinds of hearts, they do not receive the word and apply the measure of the word upon their lives. The enemy comes and snatches the seed away from these kinds of lives, from these kinds of hearts. But the kind of heart that hears the word and then does what it says is the kind who grows in God and who fulfills his purposes. Genesis 4, verse 7, in the NIV, it says, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. This is the truth of the word tonight, that sin is desiring to have its way with us, to rule over us. And it goes on to say, but you must rule over it. We have the ability and the power to rule over the sin that is crouching at every single one of our doors. Sin and Satan are seeking to hinder God's word from being powerful in our lives. We know that Satan attempts to plant the doubts, to plant the lies and the fears within us. He comes to take away the seed of the word that is imparted into us. He seeks to darken the very glory of God within us. This is our battle. But our victory tonight is found in the word of God and Jesus Christ living within us. We must be aware of the schemes and the plots and the plans of Satan, the roaring lion. We must be aware of them so that we can be armed against them with the truths that are found in the word of God. We are told that if we can be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well, this will be the difference between our spiritual defeat or victory. The word will be quick and powerful, living and active for us when we are hearers of the word, when we open up the word and we read it, when we come into church and we sit under the word of God. The word will be quick and powerful, living and active when we are doers of the word, when we meditate upon it, when we pull it into our lives, when we invoke the word over us, when we pray it and prophesy it, and when we allow our character to be changed by it. Number three, the final thing tonight, is the living word flows as cleansing waters to sanctify us. The word of God will be quick and powerful when we allow it to cleanse us. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Jesus is looking to come back for a bride that is holy, that is spotless, that is without wrinkle. He is working within his church to sanctify us, to wash us, to cleanse us with the power of the living waters that are his very word. How does he cleanse us? Through his word. When we read it and listen to it, when we receive it, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to bring to light any sins that may need cleansing. How many here ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your lives? I do all the time. I welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit over my life because I do not want the glory of God to be darkened within me. We must be challenged, church, to say, Holy Spirit, search me and test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We want to be the bride. We want to be the army of God that is without spot or wrinkle, that Jesus can say, look, there's my church. There's my bride. She's ready for my return. We say, Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us. For we want the full glory of God, don't we? We want the full power of God working in our lives. Holy Spirit, come and cleanse us. Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us any areas that need to be washed. Psalm 24, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? How many are ascending the hill of God tonight? Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Wash us, O God. God longs for us to draw close, that we would truly stand in the glory of his presence. This is his desire for every one of us, young and old tonight. This is his desire. He is ready to reveal for his very glory to us, to sanctify us, that we would be able to stand in the Holy of Holies and commune with him. Is there anything better than this, church? Is there anything better than beholding the glory of God, than standing in his very presence, than ministering unto our Savior, unto the King who is worthy? There is nothing in this life that is better than that. And I pray that we would all receive a fresh revelation of that, a fresh impartation of that, that, oh God, I want to behold your glory. We want to ascend the hill tonight as a church united, cleansed. He is a holy God, and there is a level of purity that he requires within our thoughts, within our attitudes, within our very living. We all need a washing and a cleansing at times. And it is his word. It is his word that washes us as we learn about repentance, as we learn about the blood of Jesus. We need to invoke the pure, holy word of God. We need to pull those scriptures into our spirit, make them alive within us. Take every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. Submit unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Let us take those specific verses and scriptures and pull them into our lives, that we would be washed and set free and cleansed unto the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And as we close tonight, in John chapter 17, we see a passage where Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's praying for the believers as well. And part of his prayer is that the Father would cleanse us. Part of his prayer, he says, Holy Father, protect them. Protect them from the evil one. Do not take them out of the world, but protect them. Protect them from the filth of this world. In verse 17, he says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word is quick and powerful. It is effective, living and active as it flows into our lives and cleanses and sanctifies us. How many are thankful that our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of his word? The very gift of his word. There is no substitute for the word of God in our lives. It contains everything we need to be close to Him. You know, I have experienced the power of God in my life, as I'm sure most of you have as well. Stories and testimonies that we could share with one another of how the living God has met with us. But you know, there have been a few defining moments in my life where my faith and my passion has come alive, has been as a fire in my bones that I could not contain it. There have been a few defining moments where the living God has met me in such power, where a word of knowledge has come, where a prophetic word from ministers who have had no idea who I am, what my life is, what my past has been, but they have been able to speak directly to specific prayers that I have prayed that only God had knowledge of. And it is because of these experiences, it is because of these moments in my life that it has caused me to believe for the impossible. It has caused me to believe that our God is a God of miracles, that He is not only real, but that every word that proceeds from His mouth, it is truth, and it is powerful to those who would believe, to those who would have courage enough to be changed by it. We have been given divine weapons to tear down, to demolish the strongholds. Our weapons are supernatural, church. They are not carnal, as 2 Corinthians tells us. And this is why God urges us to abide in His word. It is in His word where He guides and He teaches us and He shows us these weapons that we must use to overcome every enemy that we face. The Father tonight is fighting for you. There is a divine call upon every single person in this room, young and old, no matter where you have come from, no matter even what church you belong to, however you found yourself here tonight, there is a divine call upon every single one of our lives, and He is fighting for us to be these children. The only way that we will succeed in this is by placing priority upon setting the Word of God into our lives on a daily basis. We need to pull the living Word into our hearts and our minds. You see, when we are anxious and when we are worried, it is not always enough for us to just know that our God is our peace. But we must take the specific scriptures and the verses, such as Philippians 4, verse 6, and we need to pull it into our lives, and we need to say, I will be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, I will make my requests be made known unto you, my God, and the God of peace, His peace that surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart. It will guard my mind from the enemy's advances against me in the name of Jesus. And we begin to receive that peace, and every anxiety and depression is broken in the name of Jesus. This is the word that is living and powerful for us, but we have to know the word. We have to know those scriptures so that they are quick. They are in our hearts because we have meditated upon them. We have memorized them. When fear comes to steal the glory of God, to steal the courage of God, we need to pull into our minds, into our hearts, verses such as Joshua 1, verse 9. Have you not called me, O God, to be strong and courageous? I will not fear, I will not be dismayed, because my God is with me wherever I go in the name of Jesus. The spirit of faith will begin to arise. The strength will come. The victory and the breakthrough will come as we begin to use the word of the Lord. Have you ever found yourself desperate for comfort, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to draw so close to you? James 4, 8, I will draw near to you, God, and you promise that you will draw near to me. Hebrews 4, verse 12 in the Amplified, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. Let's stand together tonight. The word will be powerful in your life. It will be effective in your heart and your mind. In all of us, when we have faith, when we trust that it is faithful and true, when we set our lives to be hearers and doers of the word, and when we can say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me anything that might be darkening your glory. And when we can allow the word to wash and cleanse and sanctify us, how many here want the word of God to be effective to kill what doesn't belong? To slay the enemy's advances against our character and our emotions. How many want the word of God to be as a sword in your life to produce his power, to draw us into the Holy of Holies as we apply it, as we invoke it, as we heed it, and live its glorious truths? Let us be the church. Let us be the people of God who declare, as the prophet Jeremiah said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire. I pray that tonight over every single one of us, that his word would be as a burning fire, that it would be released afresh in the name of Jesus. That the spiritual desires and purposes of God would just be released into us, that nothing else would matter, that nothing else would take the priority of the word of God in our lives. I was weary of holding it back, Jeremiah said, and I could not. Wow, to have the word of God burning is such a fire that we are weary, because constantly, day and night, the word is burning within us, that we would not be able to lay our heads down until the word of God has been pulled into our lives. That when we wake up, we would not go to Facebook or Twitter or the email first thing, but we would open up the word of God and we would say, God, what do you have for me today? What do you want to say today? Oh God, come and do your work. Would you just close your eyes? Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. As we worship the Lord tonight, the altars are open. If you have need of prayer for anything in your life, even if it's not related to this, we would love to pray with you. But church, let's set our hearts. Let's invoke and call the fire of the Word of God into our spirits afresh. Let us be victorious and apply the full measure of the living Word over us. Let's worship Him.